to come to the knowledge of the truth. And yet there were unbelieving Jews there at Jerusalem that were just resisting every effort that the Lord Jesus Christ was making to bring them to himself. And throughout the chapter, we've just seen an ongoing battle of conflict. And we're going to see that that's how the chapter ends. It ends just with conflict. The issue at hand is the issue of belief versus unbelief. That's the battleground. Do you believe or do you not believe? And this morning I've titled the message, When Faith is Missing. When Faith is Missing. Now, if you're physically able to do so, we'd like to ask you to stand for the scripture reading. So if you can, just stand with me. We'll begin reading in verse 51. You follow along in your Bibles, and I'm going to read down through the end of the chapter. In verse 51, Jesus says, Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. Then said the Jews unto him, Now we know that thou hast the devil. Abraham is dead, and the prophets, and thou sayest, If a man keep my saying, he shall never taste death. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead? And the prophets are dead, whom makest thou thyself? Jesus answered, If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom ye say that he is your God. Yet ye have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say, I know him not, I shall be a liar like unto you. But I know him and keep his saying. Verse 56. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, Thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? Jesus saith unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Before Abraham was, I am. Then took they up stones to cast at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, and going through the midst of them, and so passed by. Let's bow together in prayer. Father, we come before you this morning, and we thank you for this study in John's Gospel and how wonderful it has been. We thank you, Lord, that we can learn more about the Lord Jesus Christ, more of his heart, more of his concern, more of his love, more of his compassion, more of his long-suffering, more of his intent, Lord, to bring people to an understanding of the truth, even in the face of great ridicule and scorn and rejection, and outright vivid unbelief. And Father, I pray that we as a church, as a body of believers, and we as individual believers, could become more like the Lord Jesus Christ. We would learn more of him throughout our study of John's Gospel. And that we, through the power of the Holy Spirit, would begin to emulate more of the Lord Jesus in our lives. Lord, help us to realize it's not about living out things as much as it is letting Christ live through us. Just the Christ life. We thank you that we have Christ within through the person of the Holy Spirit. May he flow out of our lives. And Father, may you be honored and may you be glorified through that. Pray for your help now this morning, Lord. May the Holy Spirit illuminate our minds and give us understanding to the truths of Scripture. If there's anyone here this morning, Lord, that's outside the realm of faith, may they come to believe you this morning. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. May be seated. So we continue our study in John's Gospel this morning. Let's keep in mind that John, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, is seeking to persuade his readers that Jesus was the eternal, everlasting, all-powerful Son of God. God himself come down to this earth. If you can come to that persuasion, if you can come to that belief that Jesus Christ is God come to this earth, you'll not struggle with many of the things that Jesus says in this letter. But if you really don't believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is who he claimed to be, that he's God come to this earth, then you're going to have a struggle. You're going to have some difficulty. There are going to be some things that are going to come out of the mouth of the Lord Jesus Christ that you might just perceive as being just a bit crazy. How in the world could someone make a statement like that? For example, our passage begins with verse 58 this morning, or verse 51, excuse me, verse 51. And as we begin in verse 51 this morning, I want you to notice what Jesus is saying here. And he says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death." That's quite a statement. If a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. Wow. You're only going to believe that if you believe that Jesus is God come to this earth. That that's coming out of the mouth of God. You see, when faith is missing, why are we having conflict going on throughout this chapter? Because faith was missing from a lot of people's lives. And when faith is missing, I want you to notice with me, first of all, this morning, you won't believe what Jesus says. You will not believe what Jesus says. If faith is missing from your life, you'll look at a verse like that and say, "This man, Jesus, is just out of his mind. How in the world can anyone say that if you'll keep their saying, you'll never see death?" Now, I want you to understand this morning as we begin looking at verse 51, it begins with the words, "Verily, verily." Do you see that? Notice verse 51 once again in your Bibles. And say those words with me. "Verily, verily." When you come to those words in John's Gospel, and by the way, they appear 25 different times in this Gospel, Jesus is about to state a truth that he's wanting those who are listening, those who are hearing, to really get it. Those words, "verily, verily," mean truthfully, truthfully. They are words of emphasis. It's sort of like the Lord Jesus Christ saying, "Okay, now, I want you to sit up. I want you to open your ears. I want you to hear what I'm about to say. Here's a truth that is extremely important. I'm giving you something that you need to understand, something you need to grab hold of, something that you need to accept." And here in this particular verse, Jesus says, "If a man keep my saying, he shall never see death." You see, many times in John's Gospel, those words, "verily, verily," are coupled with something that would be rather difficult to believe unless you believe that Jesus is God. If you believe that Jesus is God, you really don't have a problem saying, "Well, if I keep his saying, I'm never going to see death." But if you don't believe he's God, wow, that's a challenging statement to believe that. "If a man keep my saying, he shall never see death." Now, no doubt, this morning, some of you are sitting right there saying, "Pastor, I don't understand. I mean, how can anyone say that? Everybody knows we're going to die. I mean, even the Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die and after this to judgment." And Jesus is now saying, if you keep this saying, he's never going to die. I mean, what's up? What's the issue here? Well, I think we need to understand from a biblical perspective something about death this morning. So take your Bibles and be turning, if you would please, to the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 2. Over to your right, the book of Ephesians, if you have one of our Bibles, you'll find this on page 1251. Let me give you a few thoughts about death here this morning. You might want to write these down. First of all, I want you to realize that every one of us was born in a state of spiritual death. We were born in a state of spiritual death. Ephesians chapter 2, if you would please, page 1251. We're actually born dead. We're born dead. Born physically alive, but spiritually dead. In Ephesians chapter 2, look in your Bibles if you would please. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1, the Bible says, "And you hath he quickened." The word "quickened" means to be made alive. So the Scripture says, "And you hath he made alive." Now look at what it says there in verse 1. "Who were," past tense, "we were" what? "Dead in trespasses" and what? "Sins." The Bible teaches that's how we're all born. We are all born dead. No, we're born alive physically, but spiritually dead. That means there's no life within us. There's no spiritual life within us. We've got physical life within us, but we have no spiritual life within us. Our spirit is separated from God's spirit. That's why Jesus said to Nicodemus in John chapter 3, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." It's not our physical birth that prepares us for heaven. It is a spiritual birth that prepares us for heaven, because spiritually, the Bible says, we are dead. dead in trespasses and sins. Let's read the verse together one time, if you would please. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. So understand that we all can be walking dead men. In fact, there was a time when we were alive physically, but dead spiritually. Now take your Bibles and turn with me to Revelation chapter 20. The book of Revelation in Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20. And in Revelation chapter 20, I want you to see that the Bible teaches, Revelation's the last book of your Bible, page 1350. In Revelation chapter 20, I want you to see with me this morning that if a person dies physically in the state of spiritual death, he's going to see death. In Revelation chapter 20, notice if you would please, he's going to die forever to be eternally separated from God. Death in the Bible is separation. And in Revelation chapter 20, notice in verse 6, the Bible says, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. The Bible says, on such the second, now look at this, the second what? Death hath no what? Power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him a thousand years. I want you to see here, the Bible's talking about a second death. It's a point when the man wants to die. That's referring to, in a physical sense, the physical body dying. And if you're here and you are alive physically, but you are dead spiritually, if you were to physically die but yet still be spiritually dead, the Bible in Revelation 20 is saying you're going to see a second death. You're going to see a second death. You have no spiritual life in you. Your spirit is separated from God's spirit, and you will be separated from God for all of eternity. Notice he goes on to define what this second death is later on in Revelation chapter 20. And notice what it says there in Revelation chapter 20 in the verse 11. It says, and I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. This is referring to a judgment that's going to take place in the future called the Great White Throne Judgment of God. The Great White Throne Judgment of God is a judgment of unbelievers, people who are unsaved. And notice in verse 12 it says, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which are written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead, verse 13, follow your Bibles, please, which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to his works. Verse 14, the Bible says, and death and hell were cast into the lake of what? And the Bible says, this is the what? Second death. This is the second death. So over in Revelation chapter 20, it says you're blessed if you've got part in the first resurrection, because the second death will have no touch upon you. But if you're not saved, if you're not a child of God, if you've never been born again into the family of God, you've never been born alive spiritually, the Bible's saying that you are going to have part in the second death, and death and hell or Hades was cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. And in verse 15 it says, and whosoever was not found written in the book of, get it now, the book of what? Life was cast into the lake of fire. Is your name in the book of life? Have you received life through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ? You see, as we think about John's gospel and Jesus saying, if you keep my sayings, you'll never die. Throughout John's gospel, what has Jesus been saying to us? I have come that you might have life. I have come that you might have life. I have come that you might have life. And yet he was speaking to people who were physically alive. Yet spiritually they were what? They were dead. We can be physically alive and yet spiritually dead. We're dead in our trespasses and what? Sins. And yet Jesus came so that he might bring us life. That's one of the major thrusts in John's gospel. Take your Bibles and let's go take a look at it. Back in John's gospel, Jesus is emphasizing this over and over and over. Back in John's gospel, go with me if you would please, in John chapter 6. The gospel of John in John chapter 6. And look at how the Bible emphasizes this in John chapter 6. John chapter 6. Notice if you would please, in John chapter 6, starting in verse 35, notice in John chapter 6 and verse 35, Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never what? Why? Because he's the bread that will bring you what? Life. Notice if you would in verse 48, he repeats it. He says, I am that bread of what? Life. And when we went through that discourse, I mean, the whole emphasis there is coming to Christ so that you can have what? Life. And he's not talking about life on this earth. He's talking about life up in heaven. Verse 47, he says, verily, verily, truthfully, truthfully, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath what kind of life? Everlasting life. See, you can be alive physically, just like these guys are on the front row this morning. They are alive physically. You can be alive physically and yet be dead spiritually, dead in trespasses and sins. So there's a sense in which you can look at someone and say, well, he's alive, but yet he's dead. You follow this? I'm not trying to be confusing to you. You can be alive physically, dead spiritually, dead in your trespasses and what? Sins. And guess what you don't have? You don't have life. You don't have the kind of life that Jesus came to bring. Because the kind of life that Jesus came to bring was everlasting life. Look over in John chapter 10. John chapter 10. Don't miss this as you go through John's gospel. Don't miss the emphasis that Jesus was here to bring us life. And in John chapter 10, notice if you would please, in John chapter 10, in verse 10, the Bible says, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have. Woo! I'm come that they might have what? Life. And that they might have it more what? Abundantly. Then look over in John chapter 14, if you would please. John chapter 14. We've got to understand this as we go through John's gospel. Jesus is here to bring men who are dead in their trespasses and sins life, everlasting life. And in John chapter 14, notice if you would please, in John chapter 14, in verse 6, Jesus saith unto him, he's speaking to one of his disciples, Thomas, he says, Thomas, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the, get it now, I am the what? Life. No man comes to the Father but by. And then look over in John chapter 17. John chapter 17. And in John chapter 17, look at this verse. In John chapter 17, in verse 2, the Bible says this about the Son of God. Well, let's begin in verse 1. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come, glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. Verse 2. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give. What kind of life does he want to give to you? And notice he says, I've got power over all flesh. You know what that means? He's got power over you. He's got power over me. He's got power over everyone that's alive and walking around on the face of the earth today. And what kind of power does he have? He has the power, look what the verse says, he has the power to give to us what kind of life? Eternal life. See, we already have physical life, don't we? What do we need? We need eternal life. He says, I've got power to give you eternal life, and to as many as thou hast given me. So the Lord Jesus Christ, one of the stress in John's gospel was the fact that Jesus was here to bring us life, to bring us life. Now the appeal throughout John's gospel is, won't you come to Jesus and believe on him so that you might have that life? You follow me here this morning? You've got to understand this. See, you've got to understand this, because if you don't understand this, you're going to struggle with this. And guess what? You may leave here not having faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And we want to hear what God's word tells us this morning. We want to see what God's word tells us this morning. That we will be people who will believe God, that we will take God at His word and say, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God come to this earth. And I believe that if I will keep His saying that He's talking about in John chapter 8, that I will never see death. I'll never see death. And that I was born dead in trespasses and sins. And I need Jesus to bring me life. And John is stressing and saying, well, if you'll come to Jesus and believe on Him, you'll have that life. If you'll come to Jesus and believe on Him, you'll have that life. I mean, he begins it all the way back early in the chapters. Go back to John chapter 3, if you would, please. John chapter 3. John chapter 3. And just look at it just briefly through some passages here this morning. If you'll come to Jesus and believe on Him, He'll bring you everlasting life. That's right. You'll have life and you'll never see what? Death. In John chapter 3, notice if you would please, we'll just begin in verse 16. For God so loved the... Have you realized that? Do you realize that God loves you, Alyssa? Do you realize that? Good. How about you, Brandon? Do you know God loves you? Good. How about you, Daniel? Good. Great. I'm so glad that God loves me, aren't you? God loved us so much that He gave His only begotten. And that sacrifice that God's Son was given to make on the cross of Calvary is why He can bring us life. We were dead in trespasses and what? That He took our debt of sin to the cross, fully paid for it, was buried, and then the third day He rose again, what? Triumphantly. You know what He did? He conquered death. He conquered sin. He conquered Satan. He conquered death. He conquered the grave. Conquered all those things. Jesus is our victor. Amen? Now will you come to Him and believe on Him to bring you life? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever, look at it now, whosoever what? Will you believe in Jesus to bring you life? God says, if you will, you'll not perish, but what are you going to have? Boy, actually, that's pretty neat, isn't it? You'll have what? Everlasting life. Then verse 17 says, for God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him, we might be what? Saved. Why do we need to be saved? Because we're born dead in our trespasses and what? Sins. We don't have any life. We need to be saved from our sins. Verse 18, He that believeth on Him, will you come to Jesus and believe on Him to bring your life? God says, if you will, you'll not be what? But he that believeth not, the Bible says, that person's already what? Guess what? He's going to experience the second death. He's condemned when? Already. Before the judgment's ever taken place. He's already condemned. Why? Because he's refused to come to Jesus and believe on Jesus to bring him life. Isn't that what the verse says? He that believeth on Him is not what? Condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned when? Why? Because he hath what? Not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Look down in verse 36. John chapter 3 and verse 36. It says, he that believeth on the Son hath what? Everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see what? Why? He's alive physically, but he's dead spiritually. He has no life. He'll not see life. The wrath of God abideth upon him. Then look over in chapter 5, if you would please. John chapter 5. I'm just trying to help you understand this morning. One of the great stresses in John's gospel is that Jesus has come to bring us life. And one of John's appeals throughout this gospel is saying, come to Jesus and believe on Him to give it to you. And in John chapter 5 and verse 44, he says, verily, verily, truthfully, truthfully, I say unto you, he that heareth my what? Word. John 5:24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my what? Word. and believeth on him that sent me. Look what that says. That person hath what? Everlasting life, and shall not come into what? Condemnation, but you're passed from death unto what? You're passed from where? That's where we were, dead in trespasses and no longer. We're passed from there unto what? Isn't that what Ephesians 2:1 is teaching? And you hath he quickened, made alive, brought us what? Life, which were over here, dead in our trespasses and what? You see, before we came to Jesus and believed on Jesus to be our way to heaven, we're just dead. And in that condition, if we were to die physically, boy, we would see death. We'd see the second death. We'd see the everlasting lake of fire. But guess what? I'm no longer over here. I'm over here. Jesus has brought me life. And you know what Jesus promised me in John chapter 8 and verse 51? Whether you want to believe it or not, Jesus has promised me that I'll never see death. I'll never see death. You say, but I thought you were going to die physically. How are you never going to see death? Look at your Bible. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, I want you to look and see what the Bible teaches here, page 1233. And in John chapter, or 2 Corinthians chapter 5, look here with me if you would please. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, the Bible says this. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 in verse 1, for we know, I like that word know because it's a word of confidence. We are confident. We know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, this body were to die today, guess what? We have a building of God, a house not made with what? Hands. It is eternal. And where's it at? That's right. We've got a house. We've got a home waiting for us. I've got a mansion just over the hilltop. Mm-hmm. You got one? If you come to Jesus and believe on him, man, you got something waiting for you. Mm-hmm. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto my wife. So, that where I am, there you may be. You know, this. If you have come to the Lord Jesus Christ and believed on him to bring you life, let's just understand that the Bible says we've got a confidence of heaven waiting for us. You follow me? This is not a hope-so thing. This is not a maybe thing. This is not, I wish, maybe it's going to happen, or I'm thinking it's going to happen. No, this is a confidence based upon the word of a God who doesn't lie. For we know what's going to happen to us when we die. We're going home. We're going home to be with the Lord. In verse 18 it says this, or verse 8, excuse me. Verse 8 it says this, we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be what? Absent from the body and present with the? You know, if I die physically and I am absent from my body but I'm present with the Lord, I'll never see death. You know, if the Lord does not return in my lifetime. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm looking for the Lord to come back. Amen? And we're all looking for Jesus to come at any time. But if the Lord doesn't come in the next few years as I get older, you know, and my health decays, you know, I'll come to the threshold of what we call dying on this earth. And there, wherever bed I'm lying in, my family might be gathered around me because they know Dad's about ready to leave this earth. And they might be standing around my bedside as I'm getting ready to exit this earth and leave this world behind. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. And so the angels are beckoning me to come home to be with Jesus. So my family is standing around my bedside watching me. I open my eyes and I see my family for that very last time. I close my eyes and my eyes are wide open looking in the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. I haven't seen death. I haven't seen death. I haven't seen death. I've been with people. I've been in their rooms. That when they left this earth, we said they died. Oh, they only died in a physical sense. They didn't see death. They saw Jesus. Because Jesus didn't come to bring them death. Jesus came to bring them what? Life. And when you have the life that Jesus brings to you, you are never going to see death. Look over in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I mean, that's what Jesus said. You can look at me cross-eyed all you want to look at me. You can look at me with the question marks all you want to look at me. But I'm telling you right now, on the basis of Jesus Christ, who is the eternal, everlasting Son of God, the great I Am, Jehovah God, who came down to this earth, He said, if you will believe on me, you'll never see death. I'm not seeing it. I'm not going to see it. If you want to think you are, you go right ahead. I'm not seeing it. 1 Corinthians 15. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. For thou art what? That's right. That's right. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, look at this. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 55, the Bible says, O death, where is thy what? Sting. O grave, where is thy what? Victory. Hey, you know, I'm going to tell you something. Death and the grave didn't have anything over us. If you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, your Savior, you come to Christ and believe on Him for life, you know what He's brought you? He's brought you life. He brought you everlasting life. You'll not see death. The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. Christ took care of both those things. Last time I read my Bible. Amen. The Scripture says, but thanks be unto who? Which giveth us the... through the Lord Jesus. We've got victory in Christ. He's brought us life. So when Jesus says you'll not see death, you know what He means? He says you're not going to see it. That's what He means. That's what He means. Now listen, if you're struggling with the issue of faith, when faith is missing, you know what? You won't believe what Jesus says. Why is He having a problem with these unbelieving Jews back in John chapter 8? Why is He having to struggle with these people back in John chapter 8? Because faith is missing from their lives. They're not believing God. They're not taking Him at His word. He says, if you keep my saying, He says, you'll never see death. Look here, if you would please. Back in John chapter 8. John chapter 8. John chapter 8. Problem is, they didn't have faith. They weren't believing God. They weren't taking God at His word. They weren't taking Jesus at His word. And when we don't have faith in our lives, we don't believe Jesus. We'll look at Jesus just as those guys did. Notice what comes out of their mouth in verse 52 after Jesus made that statement. Now that was a great statement, don't you think? Don't you think that was a great statement? I mean, there are millionaires on the face of the earth who are willing to give up great sums of their money if they would be convinced that you would guarantee to them they'd never see death. And here Jesus wants to give it to us freely. Amen? Isn't that something? Isn't that thrilling? Isn't that exciting? And what do these guys turn around and do? They turn around and say this in verse 52. Then said the Jews unto Him, now we know thou hast the devil. We know you're insane. You're out of your mind, Jesus. What are you talking about? Never seeing death. You know, when faith is not there, number one, you won't believe what Jesus says, and number two, you'll accuse Him of some radical things. You'll accuse Him of some radical things. And I'm going to tell you something, to accuse the eternal, ever-living, all-powerful, sinless Son of God of having a devil is blasphemy. And yet, why do they do it? Because they don't have faith. They're lacking in faith. And so they just look at the Lord Jesus Christ and say, Jesus, you've got a devil. You've got a devil living inside of you. And they bring up, and notice what they say. We know that you've got a devil. He says, they say, Abraham's dead. And the prophets. And they had a great reverence for Abraham. And a great reverence for the prophets. And they're all dead. And so they ask the question in verse 53. Notice what it says. our verse 52, first of all, Abraham is dead, the prophets, and you're saying, if a man keep my saying, he'll never taste what? And yet those guys are dead. And then verse 53, they ask the question, art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead? And the prophets are dead? Whom makest thou thyself? Well, if they've been listening, he's been telling them all along who he was. Hadn't he? Had he hidden his identity? I mean, what got this thing going to begin with? I am the light of the world. Who is the light of the world? I am Jesus. Jehovah God is the light of the world. And I'm going to tell you, Jehovah God's got power over death. And yes, Jesus has got the power to bring us life and give us life. And that when we die, we never see death. We just go to see Jesus. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. The problem was just a lack of faith. Lack of faith. Who are you making yourself to be? I'm just the same one I've been telling you all along. I am the Son of God. Notice what he goes on to say, or what the Scripture goes on to say. Jesus answered, verse 54, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me. Jesus is simply pointing out, you know, if it was just me, myself, and I, making a big deal about myself, you could take my witness, you could take my words and just totally discard it. But guess what? It's not just about me, myself, and I. My Father has honored me. My Father has put his hand of sanction upon me. My Father has spoken about me. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Isn't that what the Father had said about Jesus? Yeah. And what weren't they doing? They weren't hearing him. And so Jesus is pointing out that his witness, his testimony, was not just self-induced testimony. He wasn't a self-deluded prophet. He wasn't a self-deceived religious leader. He wasn't a quacko. He wasn't a spiritual quacko. This week I heard a spiritual quacko. You know what a spiritual quacko is? A spiritual quacko is a guy who is teaching God's word, but he's mishandling the scripture. He's a false prophet, a false teacher. He's got people listening to him, but he's just leading them down a wrong road. That's a spiritual quacko. I mean, this guy's a real spiritual quacko. He was saying that Jesus is coming back on May the 11th, 2011. And if you don't believe that Jesus is coming back on May 11th, 2011, you're not even saved. If you don't know the day Jesus Christ is coming back, you're not a child of God. Now, isn't that guy a quacko? That's the point, Michael. I'm glad you got the point. If you're teaching something the Bible doesn't teach, you're a quacko. And he had this call-in program. And he had people calling in asking these questions. And he's giving them all kinds of misleading answers. Talk about somebody who's abusing Scripture. This guy was abusing Scripture every word that came out of his mouth. Man, he's a spiritual quacko. Jesus wasn't a spiritual quacko. That's the point that he's trying to make. He's trying to make the point to these guys. See, they think Jesus is way off base. You follow me? That's what they think. Jesus is way off base, and Jesus is trying to say, I'm not off base. Man, I'm hitting the nail right on the head. I'm representing the truth. And the way that you can know that isn't because I'm Jesus making something big out of myself. What's the Father said about me? This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. the Father did say, "Hear ye him." One of the wisest things you'll ever do in life is when you get your Bible open, you begin to listen to the Son. And you begin to believe every word he says. Not with question, not with doubt, not with ridicule. Just say, "Lord, I'm going to be a person of faith. I'm going to believe you. I'm going to take you at your word. I may not understand it all, but I'm going to believe it. If you say that I can die and not see death, hey, I'm going to believe it. I'm not going to see death. I'm going to see Jesus. For it's appointed unto man once to die. But after that, the judgment, hey, that's unsaved. That's unsaved. That's Revelation 20, second death. Second death. Name's not in the book of what? Life. Everlasting lake of fire. Before the child of God, we know that if our body were dissolved, this house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens for us. Well, to be absent from the body is to be what? Present with the Lord. That's not death, that's life. That's life. So Jesus is just trying to point out to them, hey, the Father's testified to you guys. And verse 54, he says, "Of whom ye say that he is your God." You say that my Father is your God. Remember how they said that last week as we were studying? You say that my Father is your God. And yet Jesus says in verse 55, "Yet you've not known him." But I know him. And they didn't know God as their Father. Remember, they knew the devil as their father. Verse 44, remember that from last week? "Ye are of your father the who?" Yeah. The devil. And he says this, he goes on, notice what he's doing there. He says, "Yet ye have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say I know him not, hey, guess what? I shall be a liar like you. But I know him and keep his what?" You know what Jesus is saying? I'm not lying. I'm telling you the truth. I'm not lying. I'm telling you the truth. I'm going to tell you something. You're the guys that are lying. You're the guys that are lying. You're the guys that are lying. People today say it's too simple. It's too easy. There's got to be more to it than coming to Christ and believing on him to bring you life. They're the ones that are lying. What did Jesus say? "I'm the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never what?" Jesus said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever what? Believeth in him should not what? But have everlasting." He's telling us the truth. There are a lot of people out in the world that are telling us lies. Jesus is not lying. Other people do. That's the point. Who do you want to believe? You want to believe a liar, or you want to believe somebody telling you the truth? If somebody's telling you a lie, they're a spiritual placo. Who do you want to believe? There are plenty of people out in the world today who want to say Jesus was a spiritual placo. I'm going to stick with Jesus because he's told me the truth. Let's go on. See, if you don't have faith, you'll accuse Jesus of radical things. Aren't they accusing Jesus of pretty radical things here? Yeah. He says, verse 56. Now this gets them. They can't handle this. "Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. And he saw it and was what? Glad." Remember, throughout this chapter, they've been throwing Abraham in the face of Jesus. Remember that? "We're sons of Abraham. We're sons of Abraham." Thinking this is really something great. And now Jesus just turns it around and said, "Okay, your father Abraham saw my day. And when he saw it, he jumped for joy. He was glad." Now they're thinking, "Oh, we got him now. This guy is a quacko. He's a spiritual quacko. Abraham's dead. He's been dead for 2,000 years. This guy doesn't even look to be 50 years old. How can he say Abraham saw his day?" We got him. Did Abraham see Christ's day? He did. He sure did. Jesus is going to say, before Abraham was, I what? I am. He's the eternal self-existent God. No beginning, no ending. By the way, Abraham saw Christ's day. You know how he saw it? By faith. By faith. Hebrews 11. Let's take a look at it. Hebrews chapter 11. Over to your right, Hebrews chapter 11. Go quickly, please. Look at Hebrews in Hebrews chapter 11. And in Hebrews chapter 11, page 1301, if you need a page number. In Hebrews chapter 11, I want you to notice, if you would, please. In Hebrews chapter 11, I want you to look in verse 13. So find verse 13, if you would, please. Hebrews chapter 11, in verse 13. The Bible says, these all died in faith, not having received the what? Promises. But the Bible says, but having seen them. You with it? Having seen them, how? Afar off. And were what? Persuaded of them, embraced them. Why? Because they were people of faith. What's faith? It's a persuasion. God made the promise. It's a long ways off, but guess what? It's happening. It's happening. What did God promise to Abraham? He promised him that there was going to be a son through his seed who would bless all the nations of the earth. There's going to be a Savior of the world. There's going to be a Messiah that's going to come through your seed, Abraham. And although he didn't receive it in his lifetime, yet he did receive it. He saw it. How did he see it? By what? Faith, because he was persuaded, the Bible says, having seen them and persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on this what? Earth. And one thing you know about Abraham is that Abraham never settled down. He never built himself a house. He never had a steady place where he called home. Why? He's just moving from place to place. Because Abraham lived as the person who said, this world is not my home. I'm just passing through. Why? Because he was a person of what? Faith. How did he see Jesus' day? The answer is, by what? By faith he saw it. By faith he saw it. How do you see heaven? How do you see heaven as real? By what? Faith. How do you see heaven as your home? By what? By faith. You put your confidence in the word that Jesus has spoken. Look over, if you would please, in John chapter 8 real quickly. Going back to John chapter 8 real quickly. We're bringing this to a conclusion. You see, the conflict that we've been looking at, the struggle that we've been looking at for the last few weeks is still going on as we come down to the end of John chapter 8. In verse 57, the Jews said to Jesus, you're not 50 years old yet. And hast thou seen Abraham? Verse 58, Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, here's a truthfully, truthfully thing. I say unto you, before Abraham was, I... And they knew exactly what Jesus was saying. Third time now in this chapter he's called himself, or fourth time in this chapter he's called himself the I Am. They knew that Jesus Christ in the phrase I Am was claiming to be eternal Jehovah God himself. And that's exactly why they picked up stones to kill him. And by the way, that's our third point this morning. When faith is missing from your life, you'll pick up stones to kill Jesus. You'll pick up stones to kill Jesus. Look over in John chapter 10. John chapter 10. In John chapter 10. In John chapter 10. In verse 30, Jesus is going to proclaim himself one with the Father. In John chapter 10 and verse 30, he's going to say, and I and my Father are what? One. Claiming to be one and the same. And the response to that in verse 31, the Jews take up stones again. Stones again. Where did they pick up stones the first time? John chapter 8. And so they pick up stones again to stone him. And in verse 32 it says, and Jesus answered them, many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of these works do you stone me? In verse 33, the Jews answered him and saying, For a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, because that thou being a man, makest thyself who? You see, they're rejecting the fact that Jesus Christ is God. So the chapter ends back in John chapter 8 with these Jews taking up stones to cast them out the Lord Jesus Christ. His time to die was not yet. And the means by which he would die was not by stoning. Because the word of God had said, they shall look upon me whom they have pierced. In Psalm 22. And so the Bible says that Jesus escapes the crowd. He escapes the stoning. They took up stones to cast them at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. So we find John chapter 8 coming to a conclusion. People whom Jesus loved, people whom Jesus cared for, people to whom Jesus was reaching out, trying to bring them to the knowledge of the truth, walking away in unbelief. When faith is missing, you won't believe what Jesus says. You'll accuse him of some radical things, and you'll pick up stones to kill him. The ironic thing about John chapter 8 is that the chapter actually began, if you remember, with a woman taken in adultery in the very act, with some men that were there saying, okay, Jesus, Moses in the law commands that she should be stoned. What sayest thou? And remember, Jesus stooped down and he wrote on the ground. And one by one, those men left without casting a stone because Jesus had made a statement of great conviction. He that is without sin, let him cast the first, what? Stone. And those men were under such conviction that one by one by one they left because they knew they couldn't pick up a stone to cast them at a woman who deserved to be stoned according to the law. Here's the sinless Son of God who has done nothing to those people other than state to them the truth. Because it's the truth that would set them what? Free. The one who had never sinned. And now the sinful men are picking up stones to cast at the one who had never sinned. Do you see the irony? You see the irony? The woman escaped death. Jesus won't. Ultimately, he'll go to a cross. But through his death on the cross, what will he bring to us? Life. It will be our sins that nails him to the cross. But through his death on that cross, he will bring us life. Wow. Wow. What a message John's gospel has for us. Have you come to Jesus, believed on him for life? If not, I urge you to do so. Don't walk away from the Word of God in unbelief. Believe God. Be persuaded to the truth. And then rejoice in it. And thank God for the future. You know what life means to you for the future? If Jesus doesn't come back, guess what? We'll face that moment we don't want to talk about. We don't want to think about. But we can face it triumphantly. Because as a child of God, we'll see Jesus. We'll not see death. Let's pray. Well, heads are bowed and eyes are closed. You may be here this morning and never come to the Lord Jesus Christ and believed on him and what he accomplished on the cross of Calvary to bring you life. But you've seen what the Word of God says this morning. Are you persuaded? Are you convinced? Would you come to Christ this morning and just say, God, I'm coming to Jesus, believing on him to bring me life. I need it. I need that life. I don't have it. But Jesus does. And I believe he can provide it for me. God, I'm coming to your son Jesus to bring me life. If you're coming to that persuasion this morning, I'd like to pray for you. Coming to Jesus to bring you life. so that you'll never see death. You say here this morning, yes, Pastor, I'm persuaded of that. I'm believing on Jesus to bring me life. I want you to know I'm here this morning coming to that persuasion. I want you to pray for me. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. No one's looking around. Would you just quietly slip your hand and slip it down so I could pray for you? Yes, I'm believing on Jesus. I'm coming to Jesus, believing on Him to bring me life. Anyone at all? Just heads bowed and eyes closed. Yes, God bless you. Anyone else? For those of us that have come to Jesus and believed on Him for life, may we leave here rejoicing today. Thanking Jesus. We're not going to see death. We're not going to see death. We've got life. Father, we thank you for the victory that's ours through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for His sacrifice on the cross, what that means to us, coming to believe on Him, you bringing us life, everlasting life. Father, we're thankful for that, and I pray that you bless this one who said they were coming to believe on the Lord Jesus. Lord, help them to understand from your word what that means and have that confidence to rest in you and assurance, Lord, of knowing they're going to heaven when they die. Help us as a church, Lord, as we move forward. Look forward to the upcoming days, Lord, in the fall weeks that you've got for us, Lord, to be fruitful for you, to share Christ with others, and especially for this open house Sunday coming up, Father. May we just all get involved in all various ways and just give ourselves to you in service, knowing that Jesus is worthy and deserving of it, and letting you work through us and sitting back and seeing, Lord, what you're going to do. We'll praise you and thank you for it. And we thank you, Lord, that one of these days we're going to be absent from the body and present with you. We're not going to see death. We're going to see Jesus. How sweet that is. And we thank you for Him. In Jesus' name, amen.